Welcome to The Love Drive. It's a show about sex, love, and everything in between. If it has to do with your heart or your genitals, we're talking about it. It's raw, explicit, and playful. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, I'm Sean Galanos, the host of The Love Drive podcast, and I'm extremely excited about this week's episode where I talk to Maddie, a trans woman who discovered she wasn't a boy at the age of 14 when she typed, "I wish I was a girl," into Google. I met Maddie on Instagram last year and I love spending time with her. She has an open spirit. She's incredibly accommodating to all my questions and has a really fun and playful attitude. You can find her on Instagram at Maddie_Supreme. That's Mattie_Supreme. We talk about the effects of taking testosterone blockers on her libido, what it's like dating men as a trans woman, what her relationship to her penis is, and so much more. You've already guessed that this show is probably not safe for work or small children, or maybe even large children. Be warned that we do jump around quite a bit, and so this episode has been edited lightly for clarity's sake. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to the Love Drive podcast.
Hi.
Hi. We're going to talk about you.
Okay.
And your transition as a trans, like to a trans woman. I'm going to fuck this up. I'm going to fuck some stuff up.
It's okay. We'll just fuck it up together.
Let's fuck it up together. And if there's a teaching opportunity, you know, go ahead. Let me know if I said something like completely inappropriate.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions. I did a lot of research for this, and by that I mean I surfed the internet for like several hours. I found out a lot of questions that you're not supposed to ask trans people, but I don't think that that applies to like an interview situation.
Yeah, I'll also answer anything, so
okay,
you can ask me anything.
All right, well then, okay, first of all, what's your relationship to your genitals?
Okay, this is a good question, because I'm generally on very good terms with them now.
Yeah.
Not that I was ever really on bad terms, but when I first started transitioning, I was like, I'm just going to have to do it all. Like, I'm a completionist. You know, there's kind of like a script, like a pre-written like set of things to do.
Oh, yeah. Tell me
about it. When you transition,
it's
like, you know, the hormones, and then you're going to get facial feminization surgery and get a vagina.
Okay. First of all, let's back up facial
feminization surgery.
Okay. What is that? What does that entail?
It's a group of surgeries that you can do to your face. You can pick based on which ones.
I'm going to guess.
Okay.
Jaw?
Yes.
Like slimming?
Yes.
Cheekbone?
Sometimes.
Increasing?
Sometimes.
Adam's apple?
Yes.
Shaving?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else?
Yes. There's a lot of excavating.
Excavating.
Yeah.
So mostly taking out.
Mostly.
What's the opposite of taking out?
Putting in.
Yeah, putting in. So, yeah.
The most popular one, which I have been like freaking out and have been like considering doing for a long time, but like I think I'm just a perfectionist and like should just stop.
Yeah.
Is where they cut open your forehead this way.
Uh-huh.
Like it's basically like an arch over your forehead and
peel
it
like
down.
Where your hairline is.
Exactly. Which is nice because if you have a raised hairline from like male pattern baldness, they can lower your hairline with that incision as well.
Wow.
And what they'll do is after they've peeled your forehead down is they'll grind down the bone over your eyes.
Yeah, you're like ocular.
Yeah.
Like I have a very pronounced one. I have sort of like a Cro-Magnon thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have to like shave that down.
Yes, you would be like a big project.
Well,
what they would do is, because it's based on
I have like
sinus.
A baseball cap of like bone here.
And there's a lot of ways to do it because it's based on how your sinus is. Some people are lucky because their sinus is behind the the extra bone.
The protrusion.
So they can just shave it down. But most of the time, the protrusion is also the shape of your sinus.
So if you like, you can't cut this.
Exactly. So if you cut it off, there's a hole in your face. So what they do is they cut out a hole in your face and shave down the bone.
And then they put it back in.
And they screw it back into your forehead.
What?
Yeah.
That sounds intense.
It is. It's a lot of healing.
It sounds like a lot of healing. Mm-hmm. And some scarring, although I guess since they cut at the hairline, it's probably not as noticeable.
Yeah. If they do it right on the hairline, you'll generally have like a slightly visible scar.
Yeah.
But what's popular now is they do it inside of your hair. So
oh, cool.
Your hair just heals. It just heals inside of your hair.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's another option.
Yeah.
And then shaving in the Adam's apple.
Yeah, that's an easy surgery.
Is it? They cut something somewhere?
It's just cartilage. You're awake for it if you're just getting that.
Whoa.
Yeah, they just open it up and cut it out. If you have to like sign a waiver, because if they're not careful, like you wind up signing like this.
Yeah, but at least you don't have an Adam's apple.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like good for video, not so great for podcasts.
Yeah, but if you're beautiful, you don't have to talk, right?
That's true. So that's step two. First hormones, then facial feminization surgery.
Yeah.
And then?
Getting a vagina. There's apparently more than one way to do it. I was not familiar until recently. The most popular way, from what I understand, is they invert your penis.
Okay.
And they like alter the head of your penis to become a clitoris.
Which is just fantastic.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's amazing that that can be done.
But it's also a lot of upkeep.
Is it?
Like, yeah.
Well, there's you know, the vagina and the vulva, they're like self-cleaning sort of.
Yeah.
You know, there's like an ecosystem there that is, for the most part, can like take care of itself.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably not true of a new...
A neo vagina,
newly minted vagina.
Yeah,
probably doesn't have those same qualities.
No, it's general. And again, sorry if I'm wrong, but from what I understand, it's kind of just a wound in your body, or that's how your body sees it. Because you know, you've inverted your genitals.
It's not naturally occurring exactly. In someone of that body type.
So you have to dilate it essentially with like a set of. Like essentially dildos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, to get it so that it can accept.
Yeah. But more than that, just to keep it from like healing in on itself.
Oh, like closing off.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're basically sort of delaying the healing process.
And hope and like having it heal.
Having it heal.
In the shape of a vagina, essentially. Yeah.
Okay.
The depth of it is based on how large your penis is.
Okay.
So that's. Like,
so if you have a small penis, you're going to have a smaller vagina.
Yeah, you have a small vagina.
It's not about the size.
It's how you use it.
It's how you use it. And okay, so that's the third step, basically, in the like the script, one script of male to female transition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so where are you in the script?
Kind of done.
You're done? And where did you finish? At hormones?
Yeah, I think I'm good now.
I mean, you look phenomenal.
Thank you.
So your relationship to your penis?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Kind of hot. I like dicks. I have a dick.
You like dicks. You have a dick.
So it works out. Yeah.
Are there some considerations about the fact that you, every time I've seen you, you've been wearing skirts, very short skirts.
Yes. That's a personal choice.
It's a personal choice. Yeah. And in one of your Instagram photos, you're, I think, maybe buying pizza or something.
Oh, yeah. My ass is just like semi out.
It's semi out. It's a quarter of the way out. So are there some particular challenges about having a penis and wearing clothing that's that revealing?
Actually, I prefer this because it's more comfortable.
Yeah.
When I wear pants, I have to like tuck, essentially.
That's the question I was going for.
Yeah.
I was trying to be delicate about it.
Yeah. You could have just come. You could have been like, so where do you put it?
Yeah. Where do you put your penis?
It's like a very DIY situation.
Uh-huh.
So like, I know that there's like stuff out there on the market that's like designed to like help you tuck, but like I'm just
special
so
underwear
lazy,
or much. Some sort of like strap system.
Yeah. It's called like a gaff.
Okay.
And it's basically that you can make one yourself. You kind of just like take the top of a sock. That's basically a cylinder. And then you're going to cut the top of like the elastics of a pair of pantyhose and run that elastic through your little cylinder.
Okay. Okay.
And that basically makes something that you can step into and will like, like tuck your dick.
Interesting.
Yeah. It works. Sorry. Very well. It's so, also incredibly painful when you're sitting for 8 hours a day.
Right. Okay, so what do people assume about you?
Actually, very commonly lately that I date homosexual men.
Okay.
Which...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, or that homosexual men are attracted to me.
Right, which would make them not so much homosexual.
Right, and that because they're like, well, you have a penis, but like my like outwards appearance... is of a young female.
And your identity is of a young woman. Female. Yeah.
So,
but your genitals indicate otherwise to some people.
Yeah.
There was, when I was doing this research, there was this, I walked looked at so many blog posts that were like questions never to ask a trans person. Mm-hmm. And of course I wanted to ask all the questions. Uh-huh. And one of them was, are you sure you're not just gay?
Yeah.
And so basically what you're saying is some of these people are sort of saying that.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, gay men must like you because you're a gay man dressed as a woman.
Yeah.
So they're not really fundamentally understanding what it means to be trans.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's one assumption. I'm just a girl.
You're just a girl.
Yeah.
You're just a girl and you like men.
Men.
Yeah.
So.
Who like
women.
Women. Yeah. So. Right. I'm curious about men who like trans women.
Yes.
And in your experience, the men that you've dated have all been queer, straight?
It kind of is a sexual gray area.
Right.
If there's like a spectrum, it's yeah. definitely more on the straight side. The majority of them were like only attracted to biological females before they met
you. Okay. And then what were their relationships to your penis?
I've had to like walk people like through the psychology of it because they're like, oh my God, like you actually have a penis.
Yeah.
And then I have to be like, it's okay. You know,
I mean, they know what they're signing up for.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Exactly. And then it's just a process of like watching them figure it out. Dudes generally catch on pretty quickly because they also have a dick.
Have one. Right.
Yeah.
That's why they say
there's a little bit of like mechanics to figure out because it's not your own dick.
You just, but it's like you have to reverse.
Yeah.
You know, the way you hold it, it's just reversed.
Yeah.
Or you can come in from behind and it would sort of be the same.
Yeah.
Okay. So there hasn't been any like penis fear.
No.
Basically, the people that you're dating kind of know what they're signing up for.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, how old are you now?
I'm 23.
Okay. At what age did you start your transition?
I technically at like 14, 15.
Which I feel like is pretty early.
It was. But it was also because of like convenience. Because when I first realized that I was a woman, I passed pretty well already.
Because you were 14.
Exactly. And a late bloomer.
You're a late bloomer. So, you're 14.
And I grew out my little bowl cut. And then people just started being like, madame, how can I help you?
Mademoiselle.
Little girl.
Yeah.
This answers some sort of strange turmoil within me. Which it wasn't as sophisticated as that when I was 14, but my friend was like in the middle of science class. She was like, do you like it when people think you're a girl? And I was like, yes.
It's almost like they were misgendering you, but actually not.
Yeah.
From the get-go.
Because I remember feeling bad about it. I was like, yo, I'm like tricking all these people and they all think I'm like a... Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. They all think I'm like a fucking girl. And then Rob was like, you could just be a girl. And I like went home and like Googled it and was like, I wish I was a girl and like discovered being transgender thanks to the power of having a laptop at 14 years old.
So can you imagine not having that?
Oh, I wouldn't have known. Like I wouldn't have figured it out until I was like way older.
Yeah, you would have had to meet somebody in the community or talk to someone that knew something about being trans.
Yeah.
But instead you just like Googled it. You basically got answers right away as to what this sort of like inner turmoil that you just talked about.
Pretty much.
Before you did your Google search, you were talking about a little bit of inner turmoil that might not have been like super sophisticated at that age. But
yeah.
What were you feeling?
It was this very like I remember like people like, you know, kids talk about like when I grow up and like I want to do this, you know, I want to like be a vet. I just like couldn't figure it out because I couldn't like envision myself as an adult. I was like, I don't want to grow up to like be a boy and like have a beard. Like,
you're like a male astronaut, yeah, or a male accountant.
Exactly. It felt really icky, the idea of like having to grow up to be a man. And especially at the time too, I couldn't like put my finger on like being like, I wish I was a girl, because like that didn't exist to me.
Right.
The concept of like being able to like, of what gender identity was.
Right. And what you identified as.
Yeah. And in all honesty, like before that period when I realized that I was like transgender, I kind of didn't have a gender identity. Like I was very, even after that point, I remained kind of like gender neutral just while I like kind of got my shit together and like felt comfortable as a woman.
Yeah.
Just to like avoid having to like be boxed into like being a male.
You were like a little bit more androgynous,
yeah,
coming into it. Then you discovered Google, then you discovered being transgendered. And then, so what happened then?
A long period of like back and forth with myself. Cause I got a little bit cocky. I was a late bloomer, so right. I just passed kind of effortlessly for a while.
Right.
And I was like, I don't even need to go on hormones. Like, I'm special. And then I turned 17 or 18, started to like go through puberty late, obviously, and like fell apart emotionally without really realizing it too. Like, I had to look back on that time in my life and be like, oh my God, like I just like dissociated for like 3 years of my life. Like, for most of stage F, I was just like depressed without really thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I think I kind of reached a point where I was like, now I fucked up, and like, now I'm going to have to grow up and be a boy.
Well, you fucked up by what? Not doing anything about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, by not... Oh, sorry. Yeah, by not starting hormones. Because okay. I was like, I don't need to go on hormones. But it was also partially because I
You could have started that earlier.
I could have, yeah.
When did you start your hormone therapy?
A year and a half ago.
When could you have started?
When I was 18.
Okay, is that's like in Canada,
That's the age.
That's the age.
I also didn't do it because like, I would have to have told my parents, which we never like discussed me being trans. And like, I knew that they would like, I don't know, or maybe I just didn't know how they would accept it and didn't want to have to face that.
Sure.
And just like avoided the issue of like going on hormones.
Right.
And kind of rode that mindset of like, I'll somehow be fine anyways. Like,
which you are.
I mean, I did turn out fine.
Yeah.
So
thank goodness.
Yeah.
When did you come out to your parents?
That's a good question. Cause like, technically, I formally came out to my mother. So once again, in like true Maddie fashion of I can do whatever I want and I will be fine. I'm a year into hormones about, and because you have to take estrogen to give your body female hormones.
Right.
And then a testosterone blocker, which blocks your testosterone production.
Okay.
And God bless my doctor, puts me on like the best testosterone blocker on the market.
There are levels of T blockers.
There's a cheaper one that I've heard. This is all just like based on like stuff I've read on Reddit, honestly.
That's okay. Reddit is where I get most of my information.
Right?
Yeah.
People generally are like Spyro, because there's one called Spyro, which is cheap and like readily available. Yeah. Until recently, actually, there was like a Canada-wide shortage of Spyro.
Okay.
And then there's one called AndroCure, which I'm on.
Okay.
And I'm not sure.
Is it called AndroCure?
Yes. Which is, I think, quite clever.
It's a clever name. I like it.
And it works. Oh, trust me. It works. But AndroCure, I'm not sure of like the actual like specifics of it, but I think it blocks your testosterone production from like everywhere in your body.
Right.
Including your adrenal glands.
Right.
So essentially, like, my adrenals are suppressed right now.
Okay. You're pointing your stomach. Is that where the adrenals are?
They're, like, somewhere over here. Okay. I had to learn that the hard way because I thought that, well, because AndroCure also, like, exacerbates, like, depression.
Right.
Because, like, draining your body of all its testosterone, like, that also is what gives you your drive to do things.
Yeah, generally. It's also feel good, confidence, self-esteem.
Yeah, and I started hormones when I got expelled from Concordia and was working, like, a job that had almost, like, no hours. So yeah. My self-worth was just, like...
down the tubes.
And I was like, obviously, it's, like, the testosterone blocker that's making me feel horrible. What if I just stop taking it? And I did for 3 weeks. By the third week, I like woke up in like this like anxious, like cold sweat, had no idea what was going on. I was like, why is my anxiety so bad? And like, couldn't stop crying. I was like irrational. Like to put it like long story short, I like went insane almost.
Right.
And like I got my blood work done and went to see my doctor, and she's like, basically what happened was I raised my testosterone level back to male levels.
Right.
And had female level estrogen in my body at the same time.
So they were both competing and...
Essentially. And not just that, but because I unsuppressed my adrenal glands, they were making like cortisol, which is like your anxiety hormone.
Right. Yeah, that's your stress hormone.
Just like to the max. I was just like losing it. All that to say, once I did that, I told my mom that I was on hormones because it was like too much for me.
Yeah.
I was convinced that like I was gonna like remasculinize, and like there was no way that going back on hormones was gonna like fix it. Like I saw like mild consequences from like my T level rising, like
such as what were the consequences of your T levels dropping? First of all,
no sex drive.
Okay, yeah, that's the huge buzzkill.
Yeah, huge buzzkill. Like when I first
libido kill.
Yeah, truly.
That's what they should call it, libido kill, yeah. Instead of AndroCure.
Well, actually, they do prescribe AndroCure to pedophiles.
Oh,
to kill their sex drive.
Wow.
Yeah, it works. Wow. I can guarantee you that it's working.
Because your sex drive isn't down the tubes.
Yeah, they put them on like way higher doses, but
it just basically like
it just
kills the drive. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You saw the effects of the test when you stopped taking your blockers.
Yeah.
Your sex drive came back.
It did, which was,
and also you're young. You're young.
Yeah, so that's like, also what sucked about it, because I was like, "Fuck, I'm like 22, like, and I don't want to like, I have no sex drive anymore."
Which at 22, you know, with like male body parts,
yeah,
you're sort of like at the height of of like excitement. I mean, there's like supposed to be 14 unprovoked erections a day just for just being just alive.
Exactly,
you have 14 unprovoked boners. I'm assuming once you start taking T blockers,
oh yeah, gonzo,
gonzo, completely.
Yeah, one of the benefits actually of stopping, and I'm like, I never even spoke to my doctor about this. I totally should have, but. Now that I'm back on like the same dose as I was before I stopped taking T blockers, and like my sex drive is weirdly a little better.
Okay.
So who knows what that means?
Yeah.
Does it mean that it's not blocking my testosterone as good as it used to? Let's not question it.
Sure. Or I don't know. I mean,
my doctor said I'm okay. So like fingers crossed.
Sure. Also, testosterone isn't the only thing that affects sex drive.
That's true. It's also psychological, for sure.
So you might be feeling more confidence, more self-esteem.
Yeah.
Self-esteem kind of like equals feelings of sexiness, which could lead to arousal.
Yeah.
Also depends like what your sex life looks like currently, like if you have any partners or if you're dating anybody and how they make you feel.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit more complex than just like, is there testosterone or not in your body?
That's true. That's true.
Okay, so you have gone through some hormone therapy.
Yes.
It has affected your moods. It's affected your self-esteem. It's affected your sex drive.
Yeah.
What are the positive effects of you having gone through hormone therapy?
My body looks great. Not to like toot my own horn.
I want you to toot your own horn a little bit and tell me like how or what looks great to you.
Before, I used to be very like fixed on like being skinny, being as skinny as possible.
Right.
That was like my pride. I was like, because I was convinced that if anything else like happened to my body, like I gained muscle or like gained weight, I was going to look more masculine.
Yeah.
Because I was like hormonally male.
Yeah.
But now, like obviously taking estrogen like slows down your metabolism and makes you gain weight like more femininely.
Okay. Which is where?
Like around your hips.
Booty.
Yeah.
Breasts.
Exactly.
Thighs.
Yes.
You know, earlier you were talking about how your mood and sort of your self-esteem was in the toilet.
The shitter, yeah.
Yeah, it was in the shitter because you had stopped taking your meds for a variety of different reasons.
Yeah.
It's common, like we know that trans teens are significantly more likely to commit suicide.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I've never really felt so low to the point that I was like, I should just end it. Like my self-worth has never dipped that low.
Yeah.
And it's because I've had a good support system.
And by that you mean?
I've had friends that accepted me when I told them, when I came out to them.
Yeah.
They like switched just like that. I mean, to be fair though, I was like also kind of accommodated.
Right.
I guess in a way I'm like privileged because I had passed.
Sure.
Essentially.
Yeah. And you also started fairly early.
Yeah.
Where some people, like, let's say you were 40 and you had lived 40 years as a man and then decided to transition.
Yeah.
I think it could be harder. But I guess we were talking about teen suicide. So like all these teens sort of are in the same situation, other than they might not have access to the services that you have access to.
And
maybe maybe they're also different races.
Oh, you know, for
like
sure.
Marginalized groups tend to have, I mean, it just gets sort of compounded, right?
Yeah.
Do you have the support from your family?
In a way, yes. But it happened very recently.
Okay.
Because before that, like, I think I had, what happened was I had to prove myself as like a put together adult.
Uh-huh.
Because I think what they only saw, because I think we both refused to like communicate with each other in a way about me being transgender.
Yeah.
They just saw me like, you know, grow my hair out and like be very effeminate.
Start having tits.
Yeah. And like crying, having like loud emotional fits in like the shower.
Right. Like, which like teenage boys, young men
generally don't. They're in the bathroom jerking off, and then they're going to like go play video games.
Pretty much.
They don't like emote as much as women do.
Yeah.
And you were emoting.
Yes. So for them, I think what they were like, this is a phase that's going to pass and it's fucking up my child's life and they're going to work it out on their own and he's going to grow up to be a man who like has his life together and whatever.
Or just has to get through this like crazy emotional phase.
Yeah. Where they grew tits for some reason.
Hopefully the tits are temporary. It's a phase. That's the thing with phases.
And then recently, because I'm moving out now, which took a while to like get together, I just like all of a sudden became an adult.
Yeah.
In front of their eyes. And they were like, oh shit, we have a daughter who moved out. And we're like connecting a lot better.
Cool.
So we'll see how that goes.
I mean, I feel like moving out is sort of, that's where you shift a little bit in your parents' eyes.
Yeah.
That you're now fucking doing it on your own.
Yeah.
Which I guess probably feels really good for your self-esteem.
Mom and dad, I'm going to have an emotional fit in my own shower.
That's right. And I can cry as much as I want. And you can't do anything about it. So you have the support from your family just recently.
Kind of,
you told me a story about like your grandparents last time we hung out.
Did I?
Yeah, and it was like, oh, she's going by Maddie now.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Weirdly, my grandparents on my mom's side just like figured out that I was trans because like, again, I never like really communicated to my family that I was transgender. I just sort of did it. I like got this really crazy like set of acrylics once. And like at that point, like there's no denying. Like I was blonde with bangs and like
long
a set
hair.
Of acrylics. And my grandparents were like, or my grandfather specifically was like, Matthew's a girl now to my cousin. And she was like, I don't know. So like Nono took it really well. He knows you're a woman.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Just it clicked in his brain.
Yeah. But
no,
that's
Nono knows you're a girl.
Pretty much. And I think that's how the whole family like is going to like deal with that. They're like, Matthew's a girl now.
Yeah.
For the record, Matthew's my old name.
Your old name. Is it the dead name?
I don't call it that. I don't like that word.
Really dark.
I don't like that word. You can use it, but I'm on good terms with Matthew.
Sure. Okay. So we talked about your family. Okay. How about this? Body image, aging concerns.
Yes.
What are they?
Oh boy.
And do you have some?
So much.
Okay.
So I think most people do. In some capacity, struggle with body dysmorphia.
Yeah.
I mix up dysphoria and dysmorphia.
I think it's dysphoria.
No, gender dysphoria is one thing, but body dysmorphia is seeing like, is like hyper-focusing on aspects of your body.
Oh, I have that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all a little bit?
I think so. I mean, I've seen people and just shred it to all hell and they think their triceps are too small.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
I think we all have that. Sometimes we feel more confident if we have more self-esteem or more confidence that
day.
It's like, whatever, I'm owning it. I look awesome. I don't give a fuck. And you're going to go. And then some days where you're just not feeling that great, or maybe like you didn't sleep as well, or you haven't been eating well and your confidence is down, then things look kind of grayer. Like, you know, the outlook isn't as nice. Do you have any concerns about aging?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just talking about this. And again, this probably goes in with the dysphoria aspect. Because I'm on estrogen, like I'm going to age like femininely or whatever. I don't know.
What does that look like?
Like
you use air quotes, but
I like to imagine that like I'm not going to grow up to look like a grandpa.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You're going to grow up to look like a grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
I feel like after a while, like grandpa, grandma, like they don't really look that different.
Yeah.
It's a lot in like the hairstyle and the clothing.
Pretty much.
So you'll have a bun.
Yeah.
Instead of like bald on top.
Yeah, exactly. I get to escape male pattern baldness.
You do?
Yes.
Because of the testosterone?
Yes. Testosterone is what makes you go bald.
I know. I'm starting to like thin a little bit in the back.
There is medication that you can take.
I stopped wearing a baseball hat.
Yeah, that could help.
Yeah.
But the fact is, though,
it's going to happen.
Sometimes, there's not much you can do.
I wish you could give me your like spare testosterone, which apparently you don't have anymore.
Don't got any for you.
So you have some concerns, but ultimately it sounds like you think you're going to be okay.
It all boils down to like, I'm like, just like obsessive about, I'm kind of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And like, my fears all revolve around things suddenly becoming not perfect.
Right. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
Maddie_Supreme on Instagram.
Follow for maybe follow.
And talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
The Love Drive is produced by me, Sean Galanos, with the help of Guilford Street Studios, which is actually just what I'm calling my studio apartment. You can find more information about me or The Love Drive by going online at thelovedrive.com. If you like the show, then I have a favor to ask you. It would mean the world to me if you could go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe. The more people like you that subscribe, the easier it'll be for new listeners to find the show. This means a lot to a small self-produced podcast like this one because I just don't have the marketing or operating budget to compete against the larger shows. So if you like the show, then subscribe and tell a friend. Short of sending me cold hard cash in the mail, it's the most powerful thing you can do right now to help me out, and it should take about 15 seconds. And please stick around. I have some amazing interviews coming up for you all. Thanks again, and see you next time.